So welcome. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Diane. I am part-time at the church. I'm director of care ministry here. And I've been attending Friendship Church, I think, since like 2018 or 19, something like that. I was teaching a freedom group. I taught on Sunday nights. And we'll open in prayer. But I'm going to be teaching on healing and restoration from abuse. So a very painful topic, very raw at times, but also very necessary that we heal, right? And probably all of us have had some type of abuse at some point, but we'll get into that. But let's open right now, if you would just take a moment to bow your heads. God, I just ask right now that as we start this session, Lord, we are asking for open minds, open hearts, because sometimes this topic can be very difficult, especially forgiveness. So Lord, I just ask that you prepare all of us, and for any individual in here that has gone through abuse or experienced it or dealt it out, I just ask that you begin to move right now. And if we know somebody that's been abused, I ask that we walk away even with the ability to help those that we know maybe that have been abused. And we just lift up your name. We give you the glory. Amen. So we're talking about healing and restoration from abuse, okay? I don't know if you know this, but like 1 in 3 kids in the nation are abused each year. And adult-wise, 1 in 7 adults are abused each year. Now, there are different types of abuse, right? It's not all, a particular type. But when we talk about abuse, there's a couple things that we have to think about. First of all, we have to acknowledge the reality of it. Okay, abuse is hard. And I'll tell you, sometimes people don't even know they've been abused because there are different types of abuse, right? You know, there's the physical, which yes, I'm going to know that, right? I might have a bruise or something. But there's also verbal abuse where people use words and criticism to either control us or put us down, maybe name calling or constant negativity. I mean, I was thinking of Jan's session on rejection and even Morgan's on fear, where, you know, these are abuse, right? Can stem and result in those types of issues with us later in life or even as we're growing up. There's also sexual abuse. That's a common one we probably know about. Rape, spousal abuse, sexual violence, incest, molestation, some type of ritual abuse, or pornography. That's a sexual abuse as well. Even if you don't think you're hurting anybody, you're hurting yourself and you could be hurting your spouse if you're married. Spiritual abuse, when someone in a spiritual authority misuses their position to mislead or mistreat in God's or the church's name. And then emotional neglect. To me, sometimes I feel like this one is just as bad, if not worse, than if somebody physically hits you. Yeah. Because this is implicit behaviors like abandonment, broken promises, and withholding love that's purposeful, okay? Not if somebody has an issue, but if it's purposeful. And those result in our confidence being undermined, our worth. We feel like we don't have worth anymore, or we might become emotional unstable because of it. Now, I just want to point out a couple things. One, abuse can happen at any time. You could have never been abused and you're 40 and all of a sudden you're abused. And abuse isn't always the drastic, right? When we think of abuse, at least me, I always kind of first go to either sexual or domestic violence. But in reality, even somebody trying to control you, demeaning you, okay? Sometimes people are raised in a certain way and they don't realize they're being harsh, but it's a type of manipulation and control that they were taught. It doesn't make it right, but it is a type of abuse. So the bad thing about abuse is it does distort our identity. Now, I want to take you back to a video. Everybody went through the Freedom Group in here? Yeah. So if you watched all the videos, I can't remember which exact week, but one of the weeks, the guy specifically speaks that we have a choice. It's a daily choice. And I don't mean week one, right, where how we follow Christ, but it's a daily choice on if we choose to be healed, restored, even if we choose to forgive, right? And it is because it's hard. I mean, let's be honest. Even if you haven't been abused in here, you might know somebody that has. And I'm sure your heart feels for that individual, right? So when we think about abuse, it distorts our identity because our identity as a Christian is in Christ. But if we haven't allowed healing, right? And I think back to Morgan's comment. If you guys were here this morning, she shared about fear and she was talking about even though she had a scar from her wound, the Lord convicted her and said, hey, there's stuff under there. We need to get that out. And sometimes that is what happens. We could be a victim of abuse, or it happened when I was a kid or whatever. And I'm a Christian now and I'm walking along happily with Jesus. And boom, all of a sudden something triggers, or I remember something, or I think of something. And the problem with that is, if we're not focused on where our identity really is and where it lies, the truth, okay? Like one of the videos said, we can't believe the lies. We have to go to the Word of God. We have to look at the truth. Otherwise, we will question our value and we will question our worth. And the bad thing about abuse, in a lot of cases, it causes us to start seeking validation from others because our self-perception becomes distorted. The enemy is a liar. I think we can all agree on that. And he's great, so great about taking our abuse and creating an inability for us to see who God created in us and how we are, what our identity is. So many times, and I'm going to refer a lot because I did a lot of studying and put specific things in here. So I want to read, you know, kind of what you may be feeling or have felt or know somebody that has felt. But a lot of times the enemy will distort our perception, and it opens the door for him to tell us lies like we're not good enough, we're broken, we will never measure up, we aren't valuable, we deserve the abuse. Or worst, and the worst one for me, it's my fault. It's our fault, right? It's your fault. Come on, look at the situation. It's your fault. Those are lies from the enemy. If we go to God's word, that is not what his word tells us. God does not approve of abuse. He does not condone it in any way, shape, or form, okay? These perceptions can be so great that we look for ways to mask the pain. And I don't know about you, but I know many people that still haven't traveled down this road of healing, and they mask it with drugs or alcohol, unhealthy relationships, unhealthy sex, unwise spending, overeating, being an overachiever, or even overcompensating in a certain area so that they feel like it makes up for their damage, right? These behaviors lead people deeper into depression and further away from healing, which supports Satan's goal to make us ineffective for the kingdom of God. I will constantly tell you, and hopefully I will sound like a broken record by the end of this session, our identity is in Christ. Anything the enemy comes at us with, it is not our fault, it wasn't right, and there is absolutely nothing that justifies it. Absolutely nothing. At the end of the day, allowing healing to come in, it's a heart condition, okay? And like I said, we can be,
At the end of the day?
It is a heart condition, okay?
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. We can be a Christian and still be in an abusive relationship. We can be a Christian and still be doling out abuse. Okay. Now, it doesn't make it right. And let me clarify that. I'm not saying the Lord is ordaining you to be abusive or receive abuse. But the reality is, when we have been abused, we have to receive healing. And if we don't receive the healing and allow it to occur, I'm telling you, and I promise you, I've seen this in so many situations, you are, and pastors, please correct me if I'm misspeaking, you are stunted spiritually at a level. And I don't care what that level is, whether you're a new believer, whether you've been a Christian for 5 years, you will stunt, because at the end of the day, we have to be willing to allow that healing to occur. And it's hard. By no means am I saying it's not. So the heart condition, abuse often creates a hardness in our heart. It hinders our ability to see ourselves and God clearly. Because of this, many times the abused will adopt a victim mentality or identity. That becomes a comfort zone for them, okay? And a victim mentality, it could be that they see themselves as powerless, withdraw emotionally, or blame others for their choices. And I want to clarify that comment. So first of all, when you are abused, if you're receiving abuse, that becomes your norm many times if you don't get out of it, or if you don't have a way or know how to get out of it. So that abuse becomes your norm, and you begin to make decisions based on an abused person, right? And sometimes you may not know, or you may not even hear. I mean, I have people I know that have been in abusive situations. And I'm like, I don't understand. Why aren't you leaving? Why don't you get out? Well, because changes can be scary. And if you're, this is your norm and you've kind of adapted to it and now you have to change, it can be a very scary thing. Okay. So that's what I mean when, you know, blaming others for choices. You know, sometimes, well, I can't leave. I have, you know, my kids are here, which I know is a very real thing. I can't leave. I've been married to him for 40 years. You know, I can't leave because of X, Y, and Z, right? So many times people of abuse will lack the ability to give and receive love in a healthy way and believe their feelings don't matter. And to me, one of the reasons this is so critical is if you're not healthy, your relationships will not be healthy, be them friendships, spouse, you know, boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever. So it's really important. You know, I know I'm sure everybody in this room, if we could go back in time, there's a couple choices in life that we would do differently, right? So, and if nobody else, I know I would. So, you know, the things I would do different, right? But we don't have that ability. And many times, though, because if we're not healed in an area, what we do is we take that damage or that hurt or that pain, that abuse into a relationship, into life. Even if you're not married, you never want to get married, it could be something where you're taking that into financial choices you make, okay? Job decisions, the way you respect or don't respect yourself, okay? So there is a pathway to freedom. So that was kind of the horror, right? The abuse. It sucks. There's nothing good about it. It's very painful. It's not right. But in order for us to heal, we have to give forgiveness to our abuser. Now, the cool thing is, maybe you were abused as a child and your abuser's dead. They don't have to be alive for you to do that. This is a choice. Remember what I said, right? You make a choice to say, you know what? I'm not holding on to my abuse. I am laying it at the feet of Jesus, and I want to receive the healing that I know God has for me. So I wanted to put that out there because sometimes, you know, some of us might have been through abusive situations and we never see that person again, or they passed away or whatever the case, okay? So God's heart for us is for healing. It was never his will for us to be hurt. It was absolutely Satan's plan. And we live in a broken world. And, you know, there's many times people like, I don't understand why this happens. I'll tell you, it boils down to we live in a broken world. We do. And we have free will. You know, sometimes I wish people didn't, but they do. Right? Sometimes I wish myself, right? But we have free will. So we have to make conscious choices. Okay. In Exodus 15:26, God is very clear about healing. It's here where he characterizes himself as a healer, Jehovah Rapha. Exodus 15:26, he states, I am the Lord who heals you. And there is power in the word of God. You know, a couple of the sessions this morning, we kind of talk about the lies and we talk about where we can find the truth. In the Freedom Group, one of the videos talks about don't listen to the lie, go to the word of God. Prove it wrong, right? Get the thought out of your head and let your brain and your body, your mind hear and see what the word of God says. So with God's healing and with his word in Psalm 107:19-20, it says, then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble and he saved them from their distresses. He sent his word and he healed them and he rescued them from their destruction. Now, I know some people might be like, well, that's an Old Testament word. No, the word is good. Yesterday, today, tomorrow, right? All we have to do is reach out to the Lord. That's all we have to do. And then unforgiveness is key, right? Because it's the biggest barrier to healing. It's hard. I mean, my personality type, I want to flush it out and let's move on. Okay. If I hurt your feelings, please allow me to apologize. Hold me accountable so I don't do it again. Let's move on. But I've got family members, man, they think they've let go of stuff and they've been holding on for 40 years, hard and strong. You have to be willing to forgive. And I'm not saying it's easy. So please, absolutely do not walk out of here thinking that. I feel like for many, especially if you've been horrifically abused in some manner, or gone through some type of really, and again, doesn't necessarily have to just be sexual and all that, could be like neglect and all that, or put down and demeaned. That to me, forgiving somebody of that, very hard. I mean, I think about it in my head thinking, if my husband ever did that to me, you know, I'd be out the door, you know. So it's forgiveness is hard, but it's required. Just like Jesus, right? He died on the cross for us, not because he wanted to. At the last hour, he was asking God, if there's any way, Lord, any way that it doesn't have to be this, I'll do it. But if there's any other way, forgiveness is hard, but we have to offer that. And again, you may not have the opportunity, because we're going to look at both sides of this. It's not just offering forgiveness, but it's also if you inflicted abuse, right? So forgiveness is hard, whether it's asking for it or receiving it. Forgiveness does not mean ever what happened to you was right or that you deserved it. That's not what it means. It also doesn't mean that what happened to you, what the person did, that it was okay. It's not okay, and it never will be. Okay, there is no type of abuse that is okay. But what forgiveness is it's a choice. It's not a feeling. It's okay to feel like you don't want to forgive somebody. It's okay. You had a lot of hurt, but it's a choice that you have to make, right, to heal. You don't have to make it. You can walk out of here and not make it. But at the end of the day, if you want to heal, you're going to have to forgive. It's also a command from God, okay? And it's continual. It's a lifestyle. I don't just forgive Brenda one day and then the next day I'm all joyful and loving on her. No, no. I have to choose. And many times when you're abused, you have to wake up every day still choosing that. Because yes, the devil will definitely bring it back. Don't you remember how they were with you? Don't you remember what they did? Of course he wants us to get distracted. We have to make a conscious choice every day that we're going to live in forgiveness. It's releasing those who hurt you to God. There's a quote by Martin Luther, which I love. And it says, opening your hands and releasing a prisoner and realizing the prisoner is you. Okay. How cool is that? Because the reality is that's what it is. When you hold back forgiveness, you're affecting yourself. Believe me, that person that hurt you, they're not being hurt by you not forgiving. It is you that is affected, okay? So forgiveness is also allowing God to be Lord over every area of our lives and choosing to live with a pure heart and a new identity. Now, I know in our last week of Freedom Group, it talked about being a vessel, and specifically, where is there an area that maybe we haven't given to God, right? Maybe there's an area, you know, whatever, that little room kind of, they talk about your heart is a house, right? You have that one back storage room that, oh, Jesus, you don't need to go there. That's, you know, I'll take care of that. So that's what I like to think about it too. Forgiveness allows us to be completely surrendered to Christ. Nothing now can hold us back, right? Literally. So our identity is in Christ. And when we forgive, we no longer identify with what happened to us, because now we identify with the one who lives in us. In Christ, his redemptive, pure, and unconditional love. Psalms 147:3 states, he heals the brokenhearted and he binds up their wounds, healing their pain and comforting their sorrow. So again, I'm going to read this again because I feel it's critical. When we forgive, we no longer identify with what happened to us. Our identity is now with the one who lives in us, which is Jesus Christ. Okay? So to me, that's being empowered. By forgiving, I'm able to step away from the abuse I went through, right? Or the abuse I gave. Maybe I was abusive to someone. I'm able to step, again, doesn't mean you don't have consequences or that you don't need to seek restitution, but I'm able to not be like, okay, I'm the abuser. This is who I was. It can be who I was, and now I'm a new creation in Christ. Even that sometimes, for people that have been abusive, is hard to hang on to. I have a friend of mine, my best friend actually, her dad and mom, when they were like, I don't know, when she was younger, they were both alcoholics, and they both, especially the dad, would physically abuse each other. The hardest thing for the, once they stopped drinking and got clean and everything, the hardest thing even now, her dad is like in his mid 70s, is for him to not have regret over his past actions. And unfortunately, when we choose to receive forgiveness and accept Christ and we walk in that, we shouldn't be holding our past, but we sometimes do. Right? Sometimes the hardest thing is to forgive ourselves, right? So I want you to get that in your head, because when you forgive or seek forgiveness, you are no longer identifying with that abuse, and you're no longer should be constantly reminding yourself of the abuse, okay? Okay, if you'll take a minute, did anybody not get a handout? I know we had a couple come in late. If you don't have a handout, raise your hand. Okay, you can turn over the handouts now. So there's a couple pages here, and I'm not asking, we're not gonna read through each of these together because this is a sensitive topic. But what I wanna do, and sorry, I forgot to give myself one. Let me grab one. What I wanted to point out is there's a couple things here. There is a page for men, and there is a page for women. The page for men is if you have inflicted abuse as a male or received abuse as a male, okay? And from a woman, on the backside of that, if you have inflicted abuse on someone or received abuse, been in an abusive situation. And the reason that I wanted, and there are a number of very sensitive topics here, okay? That's why we're not gonna read through everyone, but the reason I wanted to make sure you guys had this to take away is, you know, everybody's different, right? Some people are fine just getting up and kind of sharing this, that, and the other. Other people don't even want people to know they were abused, right? They don't wanna talk about it, they don't wanna think about it. This gives you something to take home, read through, And maybe you were both. You know, many times those that abuse were abused, right? So if you were somebody that maybe you were abused and then you inflicted abuse, it gives you both sides of the coin here, whether you're a man or a woman. And then there is a prayer of repentance. And I would strongly encourage you, if you're a victim or doled out abuse, and you haven't taken that step, not just receiving Christ. That's not what I'm talking about. I think everybody in this room has received Jesus. But what I'm talking about is actually being repentant, truly repentant for the abuse you received so that healing can occur, or the abuse you gave out. Go through the repentance, because that's the only way you're going to truly start progressing with your walk. It's what will allow you to heal. And what I will emphasize here is you see the declaration. Okay, so once I repent, and again, the repentance isn't just about, oh, I hit Brenda, so I'm repenting of it. The repentance is also, I allowed myself to stay in this abuse mentality. Even if I haven't been abused in 40 years, I allowed myself to stay in this. The declaration is knowing that God loves us, knowing He is near, and that allowing yourself to receive that healing, okay? So everything the devil meant for evil, God does turn for good. We know that. But it's also a declaration to release any hurt you have, any hurt, and choosing to forget the past so that you can move forward. So I just wanted to mention that, and I have something that you could take away. You know, God is compassionate. He tends to our emotional, our spiritual, our physical wounds. But I feel like a lot of times in life that we don't allow Him to heal everything. And when we don't allow that, we will be stunted. I'm not saying it means you're going to hell. So again, you know, you can be a believer and live in that victim abuse cycle, right? But the reality is you don't want just that. I mean, I don't. I want to be fully healed. I want to progress while I'm on this earth as far as I can from a spiritual aspect. So please keep that in mind. You know, He's compassionate. There is nothing, I don't care if there's dark stuff that you did at some point in life that literally nobody knows about except for Him, He'll forgive you of that. But you have to ask, and you have to be willing to receive the healing if you've been on the victim side. So I would encourage you guys today to take that home, you know, give some thought, pray about it. I'm going to close in prayer. I don't even know time-wise. I think I went too fast. So sorry. Might have went too quick. But closing prayer, I just wanted to take a moment and close us in prayer. And I'm going to read my prayer because I put together something that is very specific. So, Lord, we come before you with open hearts, asking you to cleanse and heal every broken place within us. Lord, I ask that you touch the areas of pain, hurt, and woundedness, and restore what has been lost. Wash us in your love and make us whole again. We stand on your truth that all things are possible through Jesus' name. Remind us that nothing is too hard for you. You are the God of all comfort, and we receive your peace, your healing, and your restoration today. Fill us with your presence as we go and help us walk in freedom, forgiveness, healing, and the new life that you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen.